This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. Now, we have with us Lieutenant Colonel Tom Hiemstra. Should I refer to you as Lieutenant Colonel or just as Tom?
Just Tom would be great.
All right. Well, are you retired or are you forced out of the military or what?
Yes, I was forced out of the military after testifying to Congress twice and illegally retaliated against in direct violation of whistleblower laws where those communications to Congress were protected.
Well, of course, Tom was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. He was a squadron commander. And, of course, when the issue of the anthrax vaccine came up, he was very, very concerned, having heard about the disastrous results that the anthrax vaccination had had on other units and on other Air Force officers. So why don't you tell the story?
Right. Well, first, one of my pilots came to me and told me that we'd be forced to take the anthrax shot in preparation for our Middle East deployment that was coming up about 9 months away. And so we started doing some research. We had already heard that 8 Connecticut Air National Guard pilots had refused to take the shot. Many of them are part-time airline pilots, and as well as my unit in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And so we weren't going to risk our civilian airline careers over a risky shot that would maybe risk our family's financial security or in our health. And so the more research we did, the more we found out that there indeed was some very serious health and safety factors, and some of the symptoms from the shot were blackouts and memory loss, loss of consciousness. And as a squadron commander of F-16 pilots, I wasn't going to let my pilots be exposed to that without at least making those views known. And so once I started doing that, I ended up getting involved in testify to Congress a couple times, and the story just went on from there. And of course, they retaliated against me for standing up and speaking the truth. And my career is over here as of a couple years ago.
Well, now, of course, what was the incidence of adverse reactions to those to the vaccinations, and were they cumulative? Was it perhaps the more shots you had, the more problems you had?
Yeah, it seems that the trends are when you take maybe the third or fourth shot was where the most serious adverse reactions from the shot began. But it was a series of 6 shots and then annual boosters after that. So over the course of a military career, somebody would have to take 20-some shots. And some of the more long-term adverse effects from the shot were things like it affected the autoimmune system or respiratory or even heart problems. And since we started all that research, and 6 people have now died from the shot. And the initial incident rate was told to us by the Department of Defense was some 0.002% or something like that. But since we've been fighting this issue and finally got the truth, the product label was changed here just this year, and now the product label says that not only can death occur, birth defects can occur, but also the incident rate of adverse reaction is up to 35%, and that's 175 times higher than what they admitted to in the beginning.
35% adverse reactions, and that's actually on the product label that the FDA requires to be put in with the vaccine. Now, ordinarily, you know, in civilian life, why people are told, you know, of the risk-benefit ratio. In the military, you really don't have any choice, do you?
Well, no, a lot of times they aren't informed when they were forced to take the shot. Many people were given the shot, especially during the Gulf War, and didn't know what shots they were given. But that is one of the issues, that civilians, before they're given this shot, are offered informed consent. And in fact, we know from the terrorist attack that they had to sign a 5-page informed consent document before taking the shot.
Now, you're talking about then the postal workers who were offered that shot, after the deaths of a certain number of people working in the postal service?
Yes, sir, that's exactly right. And that's because the shot is really in an investigational status, and so they can give it to civilians without having a waiver of informed consent signed.
But, of course, the military was quite willing to give it to our pilots with really no long-term evaluation and certainly with no informed consent. You take it or else you're going to get court-martialed. In fact, some people actually did get court-martialed, didn't they?
Yes, sir. There was up to 200 court-martials that took place over the series of this, the few years of this program, and we've had a dozen or more people serve in jail time because they refused to take the shot. Not just pilots. This whole program was designed to have all 2.5 million military troops take the shot.
But, of course, eventually, why, the government changed its mind, didn't they? And didn't they back away from forcing everybody to take it? It was only those people going overseas that were forced to take it?
Right. One of the problems they had was the manufacturing process was so gross that many of the vaccine lots were quarantined by the FDA, and so they wouldn't allow those to be released. So we knew that that was happening. The FDA had, in fact, even threatened to shut down the company that Bioport that makes the shot, and so we knew that with all that quarantined vaccine that they were going to run out if they continued to try to give it to all the troops, and sure enough they did have to change the policy and make it for only people going into high threat areas. And
Wasn't that actually in part because of the courageous stand that some of the pilots took, or a lot of the pilots just resigned, and they were facing an Air Force without sufficient pilots, and that's why they changed the policy?
Yes, that was certainly one of the factors. We lost 260 pilots, and the government invested about $6 million apiece in each one of these pilots. So that was well over $1 billion of training investment of pilots that just refused to take the shot. So in part, we had a significant impact, and just that was only 10% of the units in the nation that were affected. And so if they had continued the program, they would have lost well over 2,000 pilots and probably somewhere between $12 and $15 billion of government resources.
And of course, what really happened was that because people had the courage to stand up and say, we're not going to do this, they had to, the administration, whoever it is who makes the decisions in the military, had to reevaluate their position. And when we get back, we want to get into this in a lot more detail. But of course, our special guest, Tom, has written a book. It's entitled Anthrax, A Deadly Shot in the Dark. It is available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And it's Tom's story of his battle, and of course, really the tragic story of what's happened to so many other people who took this experimental vaccine, and they were experimenting on our men. And of course, this isn't the first time. If you haven't read my newsletter, my latest newsletter on how they've experimented with our men, my June and July newsletters, they are available on the internet, or we'll be glad to send you one if you give us a call at 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Just ask for the one that deals with the government experiments on hundreds of thousands of American servicemen with unsafe products, some of which have resulted in death. And then, of course, we want to remind our listeners that we carry products like the Phonopoly game, which will allow children to learn how to read phonetically and spell phonetically. It's not one game. It's 5 board games and 2 bonus games and a couple of books that we throw in. And with that, of course, you'll get a Phonopoly set. And in about 16 hours, if you'll play it with your children, they can begin to reprogram their minds and undo all the harm that has been done by the method of reading that is being taught. And then the other thing, of course, you can do is get a Robinson homeschool curriculum, and that will allow you to educate your children from first grade all the way through high school graduation. In fact, Dr. Robinson's 2 oldest sons who graduated went into the 3rd year of college right away. Their education was so good. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the Robinson homeschool curriculum. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Tom Heemster, and we're talking about his book, and it's entitled Anthrax, A Deadly Shot in the Dark. And you know, people do not understand that they have been experimenting with our men. They've been endangering their health. And, of course, during the Gulf War, well, I'm going to let Tom tell you the story of the Gulf War, because we know that 150,000 of our servicemen got shots in the Gulf War, and the government will not tell us whether they're the ones who've come down with Gulf syndrome or not. They keep insisting that they've lost all the shot records, and I don't think that for one minute. I think that they don't want them to find out. But what are your thoughts on that, and what are the problems that we've had after the Gulf War with the Gulf War syndrome?
Well, yes, the shot was Gulf War, and there's five studies now that actually link anthrax vaccinations to Gulf War syndrome, and an additional study, the Sixth Administration has been published, or has not been published, but they have actually presented that study that shows that there is a link between the anthrax vaccine and Gulf War syndrome. And we also have a United Kingdom British study that also has a link. So there's seven studies that prove that there is a link. There is no published data that proves that otherwise. And so how many of us believe that it's a shot or some combination of shot and environmental factors or whatever that may have led to Gulf War illness. And like you mentioned, there was hundreds of thousands that were given the shot. We know that there's almost 200,000 claims now against the government from people that are sick from Gulf War illness.
Do we have any idea how many have died as a result of the Gulf War illness?
No, I haven't seen any research data on that from the Veterans Administration or anything there. We do know that from the anthrax shot itself, though, that six people have died since they started the mandatory anthrax vaccination program in 1998. So just in these last few years, six people have died. And I was just down in Texas on our book tour a couple weeks ago, and looks like a possible seventh person has died from the shot.
All right, fine. Of course, you're not hearing about this from the major media, but that's why you would be listening to a program such as this. Well, our guest is Tom Heemstra, and we're talking about his book, A Dangerous Shot, Anthrax, A Dangerous Shot in the Dark. Do you have a website where people can go to get information, or how can people get more information about the anthrax shot?
Right, there's a website for the book. It's www.deadlyshot.com. So that's deadlyshot.com, and that's probably one of the better ways to get some information. And then once you pick up the book, there's a bunch of websites listed in the back of the book for more information about the shot.
All right, fine. And now, you were mentioning some of these studies. Are these published or are these unpublished studies, these seven studies?
No, these were published studies that were ignored by the Institute of Medicine, who just kind of overlooked much of the dissenting views and now gave an okay to on the shot when they reopened the factory here in February this year.
So, now, are they in full production again at that Bioport?
Yes, they are, and it's still a very dangerous issue, because we know that, first of all, people in the military that were given the shot initially will have to continue the series according to the Department of Defense, and so there will be up to another couple hundred thousand that will have to continue the series of the shots, maybe even more. And then we also know that civilians were offered the shot, and so You know, if there's any type of terrorist attack, or CDC workers, emergency first responders, those type of people will probably be pressured to take the shot in case there's any future terrorist events.
Well, now, how effective is the shot in preventing pulmonary anthrax?
Well, that's just it. The data, the studies, and the guinea pigs don't prove that the shot is even effective. And we know that the anthrax, as the bacteria, can be weaponized, and it can be modified, you know, by the Soviets using their high-tech methods, or even Saddam Hussein, you know, in his backyard chemistry shop there could modify anthrax to defeat the shot and the vaccine anyway. So it's not proven effective. And in fact, from the terrorist attack, we found that antibiotics were plenty effective in dealing with an anthrax threat.
Well, have you ever gone into the monkey studies that were done, and what happened to the monkeys who were, first of all, immunized and then exposed to anthrax?
Yes, yeah, it's the same thing. The the rhesus monkeys that were tested on don't prove that there is any effectiveness there. And if you look at the DOD's statements about those tests, in the 80s and 1990s, they continually said that the vaccine is not effective, that we need a better vaccine, and then all of a sudden, you know, of course, in 98, we see them forcing all the military to take this shot.
What was incredible, there's a book called Germs by Judith Miller and a couple of other people, and she talked about this study, and they took 60 monkeys, and 10 of them they didn't do anything to, and 10 of them they gave the vaccine, and 10 they gave Cipro, and 10 they gave doxycycline, and 10 they gave penicillin. And then they exposed all these monkeys to the pulmonary anthrax, and 8 of the 10 monkeys that had been vaccinated died. You know, that's not a very good rate, especially when we're having such disastrous results. If this was really protective, it'd be one thing. But and then, of course, as you point out, what happens if they modify? Unless we know that they're going to cooperate and give us exactly the same strain that we vaccinated for, the strains, this could be absolutely worthless, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, and all the biological weapons experts agree that you can't win arms race when it comes to biological weapons, that you just can't keep up with the technology. They can modify the weapon itself in a matter of a couple weeks, and you know, it takes years to develop a vaccine. And so that's really the point. If the vaccine is not effective anyway, then why would we give it, and especially when it causes health problems?
I think that's a very good question. If it is not going to be a very effective, the only way we would know whether it would be effective even in the least bit would be if we knew exactly the type that the enemy were going to use, unless, of course, we were planning on using the anthrax ourselves and we wanted our troops protected against it. I can't think of any other logical reason why we're vaccinating our troops. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment on this, please give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But this has had really a terribly demoralizing effect on many of the people in the military units, hasn't it, over and above the Air Force?
Yes, not only in the attrition rates that we saw when the mandatory program was in effect, but you could just see it when the units were affected by it. You know, there was a lot of tension, you know, directed at each other. As you know, some people decided to take the shot. They felt pressured. Other people were afraid to take the shot. And, of course, that led to all kind of problems there.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Charles calling from Seaside. Hi, Charles. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Did you have a question or comment?
I have a question, actually, and it's to the caller. God bless you for coming through with this information. We definitely need it. I wanted to know what in fact, did they have to do with the anthrax, the vaccination shots, and during the Gulf War. Was there anything tied to that as far as the depleted uranium or something I was reading about that was affecting the soldiers, too?
Well, the depleted uranium was from some other weapons, some weapons that we had used. I think some of the bullets that the A-10 tank killer used. And so I think there's a depleted uranium that was an environmental factor that was there. And but that's a, kind of a separate issue, other than the fact that it looks like sometimes people get sick with Gulf War illness because of a combination of...
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Wasn't there a difference between the two, and the fact that that was one of the reasonings for getting the shot for going over there was the type of weapons we were going to use, or the environment or something that they might have besides the chemical exposure?
No, the anthrax shot was only designed to protect against anthrax. So, yeah, that was a very specific shot, you know, just for that
okay.
Threat.
Okay, thank you.
All right, in fact, we have a great four-tape set on the Gulf War illness, and part of it deals with the depleted uranium, and part of it deals with the various immunizations that were given to our boys. And have you heard that some of these vaccine lots were contaminated with mycoplasma?
No, I haven't, actually.
All right, fine. Well, of course, that was one of the things that Dr. Garth Nicholson... Do you know Dr. Garth Nicholson?
No, oh. I haven't been privileged to hear him.
Oh, okay, fine. No, I was really addressing Tom. Hey, did you have anything else you wanted to ask, Charlie?
No, that was it. Thank
all
you.
Right, thanks so much for calling. Are you acquainted with Dr. Nicholson's work at all, Tom?
No, sir, I'm not. No.
All right, fine. Well, when we get back, we're going to have to take a break here, but we will welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But at this point, I simply want to suggest to our listeners that there's so much information out there that you need to get. We have an excellent four-tape set on vaccinations. Now, if you have children or grandchildren that are going to be forced to be vaccinated going into school, if you have a newborn child in the nursery and they want to give it hepatitis B vaccine, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world, in fact, there have been far more children that have died of from the effects of hepatitis B vaccine than there really are any benefit from it. In fact, there were in 1996, there were over 800 serious adverse reactions to hepatitis B vaccine in children. And in children less than 14, there were only about 250 cases. So why are we giving it? Well, we'll discuss that more, but give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the four-tape set on vaccination. If you'd like a free copy of either one of my June or July newsletters, which deals with vaccination, you can get one. If you get one, some of our products, just ask for a free newsletter. We'll send you a free newsletter by itself if you request it. But you can certainly go up onto our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com and request a, and you can actually pull down the newsletters and copy them. You have our permission to do that. Then we also want to remember that we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we don't make any claims for them, but a lot of our listeners do. We've used the products for a long time ourselves. We're sold on them, and we think you will be as well. So if you'd like to learn more about the Miracle 2 soap products, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we'll be glad to get you the information. If you'd like to get an introductory samples, introductory product of why you can get the soap, you can get the moisturizing soap, you can get the neutralizer, you can get the lotion, you can get the gel, that especially introductory offer, but give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if I think that you'll be very, very pleased, as have so many of our other listeners. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here, I guess this afternoon, Tom Heemstra, he's an airline pilot. And Tom, of course, is very, very concerned about the danger of the anthrax vaccination. And who do we have? Let's see. Right now we have Roger calling from Allentown. Roger, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, thanks, gents. I had several questions. I heard about the 10 vaccinated monkeys that died, but I've been wondering for a long time, was there any public access to the pathology, the autopsy information as to whether that had any beneficial effect, even though they died?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Only 8 of the 10 died.
Oh.
But many of the monkeys that actually took the antibiotics did very, very well. And all of the monkeys that had been vaccinated and took antibiotics survived. So, you know, under those circumstances, if you took the antibiotics, why, your chances were pretty good. Do you have any comment at all on that, Tom?
No, not any further comment. That just that, you know, you agree with you that it looks like antibiotics are really the key, not the vaccine itself.
Okay.
Yeah, well, presumably the vaccine-only information would have been too embarrassing. That's all we haven't heard about it.
Right. And, yeah, I think they were afraid probably to do those type of autopsies to find out those kind of results, or if they ever did, those certainly wouldn't be published.
Okay. Anything else, Roger?
Yeah, now, I had also heard that up to 80% of those troops have various forms of illness that may or may not be related to the Gulf War. Any comment there?
Well, you're talking about 80% of which troops are
people
those?
That were on the ground there?
No, nowhere near that many.
Oh, that's what I had.
I think that there's a lot of phony information out there, disinformation to get us so confused we can't look effectively at what really has happened.
And lastly, I hope this hasn't gotten by both your guys' radar, because the only person I had heard mention it was Alex Jones about 2 weeks ago off a newspaper article that 80%. Eight times higher incidence of Alzheimer's for those that got only 2 flu shots between, was it 1980 and 92 or 92 and some other set of years. And I thought that was a very whopping big, some researcher with 800 some papers published.
All right, fine. Why don't you see if you can get that reference for me? I would really like to see that, okay?
God bless.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine, and let's see, we've got Frank calling from New York, but before we go to Frank, one of the callers had called in talking about Bioport, and of course they mentioned that Admiral Crowe, who had been formerly head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was somehow involved in this and been given a lot of shares of stock, and the sort of the inference is that maybe this is why they have got such favorable treatment and such tremendous funding from the government, is because of the tie-in between the former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Bioport. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Yes. Admiral Crowe is on the board of directors of the company that makes the shot, Bioport, and Congress has investigated that, and I guess their results and conclusions are that it was certainly okay from a legal standpoint, but as we both know, things that are legal are not necessarily ethical, and there's certainly a huge conflict of interest there, especially when it comes to the troops looking at their boss enriching himself by a shot that from a company he is a part of, that all of a sudden is a mandatory shot for 2.5 million troops, and we're talking millions of dollars.
Now, some people, of course, there's other information out there, and I think that this is frank disinformation. But people then say, well, sure, this is true, but, you know, Osama bin Laden is, you know, tied into this whole thing. Now, I don't believe that's true at all. I think that's disinformation. What's your thought on that?
Well, there was some information that has been published, and I mentioned it in my book, just with the sources that had previously published it, that the Carlyle Group is one of the investors behind Bioport, and supposedly there was a bin Laden connection there to the Carlyle Group. But
well, that was the bin Laden family, and that is interesting, because the bin Laden family, contrary to everything we've been told, really has never really broken with Osama bin Laden. In fact, there is a great deal of information to suggest that they were visiting him when he was in the American hospital in Dubai in July of last year. So there would appear to be maybe a conscious effort to not Osama bin Laden, but certainly the bin Laden family, with strong ties to Saudi Arabia, which now we find is intimately involved in the financing of the terrorist movement. This last week it came out that the bin Laden family had given, the Saudis had given some $200 million to Al-Qaeda and this whole incredible movement. So there's so many things going on behind the scenes that we really don't understand, and I don't think we're perhaps ever going to get the full truth. Do you?
No, it's hard to know all those connections, but it's certainly enough to raise our suspicions on what is going on there.
All right, fine. Well, when we have somebody very high in government getting a lot of free stock in a company, and then the government making them the exclusive provider of a vaccine where 8 out of the 10 experimental animals died after taking it, why you begin to wonder. Well, we've got Frank calling in from New York. Hi, Frank. A question or comment?
Actually, I got a question.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dr. Stan.
Okay, good afternoon. You're a first-time caller, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good
to
have you.
Hopefully first thing won't be the last.
Okay, fine.
As I'm listening to the show, I'm thinking, you know how we all know there's a different, there's always agenda behind everything.
Right.
And I was thinking, this vaccination, is it part of the agenda to shrink our military down for what it is already and get rid of all the ones that have moral character and put in the 18-year-olds and the 19-year-old young ones that follow orders? Or is it part of the document 7277 to decrease our military strength and use our local police officers as internal security, according to the agenda? And I'll take my answer off air.
All right, fine. Do you have any thoughts on what Frank asked?
Well, certainly when we were in the midst of this fight, it was a Clinton program in 1998 when it came out as a mandatory shot program. And just with the morale that the military was under then, was pretty serious problems. And with the shot program, it certainly did look like a way to hurt the effectiveness of our military and our combat readiness. When you lose 2,000 pilots, if they would have continued with that program, you know, that certainly would have had a huge impact on our combat readiness. So that's one very good point and a factor there, I think. And then the other point that Frank makes about blind loyalty, people just following orders, it does seem that they would rather have people that, just blindly follow orders rather than question the legality of orders when it's necessary and called for, like in this case it was.
And, of course, at the Nuremberg trials, it was pointed out that you were not exonerated when you simply followed orders. And many of the Nazis tried to use that defense, and they said you can't. You have a moral obligation to question an immoral order, and that's really what you did. You risked your entire military career to take a stand ready to protect the troops.
Yes, sir, and we saw in Vietnam too, Lieutenant Kelly, that you are legally liable if you obey an unlawful order, and that's our job is to know the difference as officers.
Amen to that. Well, it takes a lot of courage to do what's right, but I appreciate what you did, and each one of us may have just one opportunity in our lifetime to make a difference, but you have made a difference. Our guest is Tom Heemstra, former Lieutenant Colonel, Squadron Commander, who gave up his military career to testify before Congress and try to get the truth out about the very real danger of this anthrax vaccine. And, of course, we can see that we have not been told the truth because the FDA has insisted that with every vial of this vaccine, a statement be put out that this can kill you. And the list of the adverse effects from that vaccine, could you list some of the things that are on that insert? I really, anybody who read that insert would never want to take the vaccine. What does it say?
Right. There's sometimes it can be muscle soreness or aches and pains, joint problems. It can be respiratory problems. It can be heart problems, fibromyalgia. There can be a Crohn's disease, a lot of gastrointestinal type of problems, as well as open sores. On the book tour when we were there in Texas a couple of weeks ago, one of the girls that was in the audience had taken the shot, and she was wearing a dress, and said, look at my legs there, and you can see, and it just breaks your heart, Dr. Stan, to see these people that have suffered, and all they wanted to do was serve our country and be good soldiers, and they trusted their commanders to take care of them and stand up for them. something was grossly wrong, like it was in this case, and they are hurt for it for the rest of their life.
Well, now, what has happened to her legs?
Well, you can see that there were bruises and sores on her legs, and I'm not just talking a couple places. It was, you know, all up and down, you know, from the knee down to the ankle type of thing.
Yeah, some sort of then discoloration of the skin, probably some abnormality of bleeding or clotting, was it?
Yes. Well, I guess the bruising or whatever was one of the things I could see from my vantage point there. But
all right. Well, the book we're talking about is Anthrax: A Deadly Shot in the Dark. Anthrax: A Deadly Shot in the Dark. And of course, our guest is Tom Hiemstra, and we're talking about the anthrax vaccination. If you're out there and you have a question or comment, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you have a question or comment, Tom knows this subject. He's certainly given up his military career. And, of course, he's still trying to get the truth out across our country. Do you know Major Sonny Bates, who lost his military career in a similar manner?
Yes, I do, yeah. I talked to Sonny several times, met with him a couple times, yeah.
Now, did he testify before Congress as well?
Yes, he sure has.
Now, what was the position of Congress? After all, supposedly, these are our elected representatives sent there to protect us. My understanding was that the Burton Committee told the Army to stop doing this, and they kept right on doing it anyway. What really happened there?
Yes, we had a great reception in some of those hearings, especially from Congressman Shays, who wrote the foreword for my book, a very courageous leader there, and Congressman Burton, the same thing, who conducted hearings at the committee level of the Government Reform Committee. And yes, the 35 congressmen wrote a letter to the Secretary of Defense at the time. It was Cohen, and told him that the shot program should be stopped immediately. And, of course, they didn't do that. They continued to proceed with the mandatory vaccinations. So at this point, it seems like politics has won the day. And, of course, we had the terrorist attack where the country was put in a panic. And one of the reasons I wrote the book, Dr. Stan, was just to get the word out now to protect civilians, and knowing that that panic was just going to create a bunch of people that thought they needed a vaccine to save them.
And of course, I think now that they have quite a bit of the vaccine, the anthrax vaccine, and they're actually, of course, stockpiling it across the country so that he can give it to you in case of an anthrax attack. Well, let me suggest, ladies and gentlemen, if anthrax comes, you want to be sure that you're on antibiotics and you take a good course of antibiotics. Now, whether you take the vaccine or not is going to be your business. But if you're going to take it, at least get the book and read it first. So we're going to have to take another quick break here. And this is the time when we have to remind listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're listening to us from out across America, we hope that many of you will decide you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is get the truth out across America. And we're 5 hours a day on, and now we're up to almost 50 different outlets across the country. We have an opportunity to reach out like never before, but we need your help to do it. We can't do it on our own. We've stepped out on faith on this new Saturday program that on a new network in the central part of the United States with 17 great stations, but we hope that many of you out there will decide you want to become part of our team, you want to become part of our family, you want to help us do what we're doing, because if we don't reach the people, who will? Most people, most of our commentators are saying pretty much the same thing the establishment is, you know, about how terrible Saddam Hussein is, and he is a terrible guy. But remember, we financed him, we helped him, we backed him when he used poison gas on the Kurds and on the Iranians. And then, of course, we left him in power. And the only question is, why would you do anything that dumb unintentionally? And now we're going to destroy him, and we're going to send our boys in. And how many American boys, how many Iraqi soldiers, how many Iraqi citizens are going to die? because somebody wants a war, and this is all about a war. This was decided long ago, and of course we never could have got the American people to go and do into a war if we had not had an attack on September 11th. And we'll do a program on that sometime real soon about the prior knowledge, and there's no question there was prior knowledge. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Tom Heemstra. We're talking about his book, Anthrax, A Deadly Shot in the Dark. And, of course, it's so important that people understand. Although this was forcibly given to our servicemen, and, of course, the medical justification for it was just about nil, and many of them are ill, and some of them have already died. And, of course, we know that, you know, the effects of the Gulf War syndrome, which certainly part of it was in all probability related to the vaccines that were given, and at least according to Joyce Riley, who keeps on top of this, an awful lot of those young men who should be in the peak of health, and the young men ordinarily don't die, but a lot of those Gulf War veterans have. And so we need to understand this, and of course this book is an excellent book, and will give you an excellent background on what we're talking about. And of course, as you talk to people across America, Tom, what is the response you're getting on to regular radio audiences?
Mostly that it's a no-brainer. It's just common sense that, you know, this program should have never started. You know, it makes no sense. It's such a waste. You know, we're hurting people. And, you know, and then I guess kind of the apathy takes over and people kind of shrug their shoulders and think, well, what can I do? And of course, that's one of the other reasons for writing the book, was to try to get our citizens involved to protect our troops, because, you know, they're out there fighting every day and to defend freedom, and now their freedom and their human rights are being violated, and we need people at home to stand up for them.
Amen to that. Well, of course, now, I assume that all of these men were deploying over in the Gulf now, and that must be tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of them are already over there, ready for the coming battle. You know, most of these already have had their anthrax shots, or are some of them only partly vaccinated? Do we have any idea?
Well, yes, we know that several of them, you know, thousands of them are just partly vaccinated, and with the announcement a couple months ago that they want to continue the vaccination program, they said that they wanted to do it in secret. So the problem with that is, once again, the Department of Defense is never held accountable, or so now they want to be able to give the vaccination in secret. So now if somebody does happen to get sick, first of all, they won't know if they're given the shot, probably, which was one of the problems with the Gulf War that was identified in the Rockefeller report when Senator Rockefeller investigated that. But the other thing is, so not only will they not know they were given the shot, but if they happen to figure out that they're sick because of shots, because of secret, they can't really go and tell anybody and fight it that way either. So,
and they can't get compensation to take care of them and take care of their family if they become seriously ill. That's the real problem, and that, of course, one reason why the government doesn't want to admit the relationship between the shots and the Gulf War illness, because, of course, they don't want to have to pay these people that they've done such serious damage to.
Right. And so the announcement a couple months ago that they're going to resume, they want to resume vaccinations whenever they want to, whenever they deem it necessary, and then they want to be able to do it in secret, certainly does not provide any comfort to people that have been fighting on this issue.
Well, of course, when you want to do something in secret, you wonder if you don't have something to hide, then why are you hiding it? A caller had asked, what happens if you don't take the whole range of shots physically? In other words, do you still have some protection? Of course, we've already discussed the fact we don't really know how much protection you do get from the shots. If you don't have any antibiotics, if we're like monkeys, why, it's not going to do very well. We know, for instance, that the people who actually contracted the pulmonary anthrax recently, five of the 13 died, but of course those who got massive antibiotics and got them early survived. And of course the key is to treat people and treat them early to recognize the disease, and there are certain ways that you can do that. And of course it's discussed in this book, because this book goes into the background and the changes you see in the chest x-ray, etc. A very, very characteristic appearance on the chest x-ray of swollen mediastinum, which you don't ordinarily have with the ordinary case of pneumonia. Well, you know, do you think, you know, one of the things that we're told is that we may have an anthrax attack here in the United States. Do you have any thoughts at all on that?
Well, I certainly think we have that potential in the future, just with after 9/11 and then the terrorist attack using anthrax, and just with Al-Qaeda and their secret cells that could be already deployed in the United States. I think there's a grave potential for us to face that here in the future. And but I think the big learning lesson from that anthrax attack that happened last fall was that antibiotics are very effective at treating something like that, and the shot is still a drastic measure. And you mentioned pulmonary anthrax, and this shot, everybody should understand that this shot was designed only for cutaneous anthrax, and it was designed only for veterinarians and a small group of folks that could be vulnerable to anthrax, but it was never designed for inhalational anthrax. So FDA rules state that anytime you use a shot for something other than its original purpose, it becomes an investigational drug. And so this vaccine is investigational and experimental, and that's why it requires informed consent. And civilians are given that informed consent and required so by law, but there is no double standard for the military, and the military deserves the same right under law.
I believe that as well. Now, one of the things was that we know that after the after the anthrax attack, and of course all of the evidence suggests that that anthrax came not from Saddam Hussein or from Osama bin Laden's cave in Afghanistan, but from our own military labs. And it's coming out very clearly now that this was American weaponized anthrax. But how many of the postal workers actually took the vaccination after reading the 5 pages material, you know, in the informed consent? Did very many people take that, or did most people just go ahead and take the antibiotics?
No, and not many took the shot, and that's a significant and exciting, you know, that people are getting the word. I think somewhere between 5 and 10,000 people were offered the shot because they felt like they were exposed potentially, and we know from the number of people that took the shot, it was somewhere between 1 and 2%. So at least the word is getting out, and probably that informed consent document probably scared some folks, and they started doing some research.
Well, I think that people should have a right to do with their bodies what they want to. And I don't think that the government has a right to tell you, oh, we're going to forcibly vaccinate you. And, of course, that's one of the frightening things with the new Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, that gives them the right, and you become a criminal if you refuse to be vaccinated or you refuse to have your family vaccinated. And with the government's track record on the vaccines, why I don't know why anybody would want to be vaccinated. I will tell you, I have never taken flu vaccination shots, and I think, well, for myself anyway, I'm very glad I haven't, because I know people who've had permanent paralysis and some have died after vaccine shots. Now, that's not most people, but of course, why are we giving vaccine shots? Why don't we perfect vaccines that do not have these disastrous effects and certainly some of the neurological consequences? Are there any neurological consequences or nerve damage changes related specifically to the anthrax vaccine like there is with the hepatitis B vaccine?
Well, I'm not really qualified to answer that. I'd have to go look at the product label one more time there, and but I'm not sure. Some of those symptoms, you know, of course, are even out of my vocabulary, so I'm not
don't,
sure.
Don't feel bad. If it came to flying a plane, I wouldn't be able to fly a plane very well. So.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, we're just about out of time. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners today?
Just how important it is, first of all, to be informed, like you mentioned there. I don't really care if people take the shot or not, but please make an informed decision. And then just to please get involved and support your military, defend them, defend their human rights. And you know, there are laws that protect our military from having to take those shots. And only in war can the president waive the right of informed consent. And so in this case, we just haven't followed the law. And it's been an abuse and an arrogance of power that has allowed it to go this far.
And we see that today when they say we don't need permission of Congress to go to war. We're going to go ahead and do it anyway. We've already got the right. Well, why not ask Congress if they will declare war on Iraq? And, of course, they have no intention of doing that. They're just going to use the raw abuse of power. We're going to do what we want to, irrespective of the courts, irrespective of the people. We make the decisions here because we are the rulers. Well, I think that's a frightening thing to contemplate. And, of course, it is a move away from the representative government towards an autocratic society. Thank you so much for being with us, Tom. You're going to be with us tonight on our other programs. And so until then, may the Lord be with you.
Thank you. My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and I just wanted to mention here that, first of all, we have Tom's book, excellent book. We also have a four-tape set on the anthrax vaccine we put together because we think this is such a vitally important subject. So you can get the book. You can get the four-tape set on anthrax vaccine as well as our regular vaccine four-tape set. And you get these by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We put together these four-tape sets, not only because they help to support what we do, but because it's a convenient way for you to get the education you need. And, of course, we will get four excellent speakers on a subject, and specifically with the anthrax. We have some of the finest speakers in the country dealing with the anthrax vaccine. In fact, we have Major Sonny Bates there and several other people who've spent a lot of time, Dr. Merrill Nass and others, who've really studied the danger of the anthrax vaccine. And the question is asked, why are they doing this to our troops? I don't have the answer, but I've got a lot of questions. I hope you do as well. So this is the time we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for God's mercy, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our ministers, and try to get your minister to understand what's going on, and that he has a moral obligation to speak out on not only the spiritual but the social issues of our time. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
We got two number one tapes and no number two, the second one.
On what now?